Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Fun, entertaining, knowledgeable.
All right.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Right.
Live and local, it's time for the Fan Morning Show with Bart Winkler.
We have breaking news, Evan tells me in my ear. What happened, Evan?
Oh, it's your team.
Really?
The Chicago Bears.
Really?
Former Cowboys quarterback Andy Dalton is signing a one-year, $10 million deal
with a
chance
all
to
over
earn
the place.
Another $3 million in incentives with the Chicago Bears.
That's from the Rami and Tim show yesterday. I think I heard there was breaking news.
Chaos.
What the hell's going on there?
Now, you hear the Zagruda? That little cackle in there?
Yeah.
That's Rami. And that's anytime something good happens with the Brewers while they're in play and we're on the air, he hits that little Zagruda. And, yeah, so that happened at the same time.
So Rami's on the board, right?
He is, yeah.
So Rami is reacting to Andy Dalton, but then also... I mean, don't you just let the Brewer thing go at that point?
No, it's complete chaos. That one, yeah, that's the one. That's actually Rami.
I know. I found you got Shakira, and then Rami.
It's crazy.
I was playing it earlier in the show, and I think that's the most reaction I've gotten today, based on Twitter's people telling me to stop it.
With the Zagruda?
Stop playing.
That means something good happened with the Brewers, typically. Unless you play it all morning.
I've been playing. I played the hell. I beat it down.
You
I
did?
Beat it.
Okay.
I beat it down.
Okay.
Yeah, you guys can't play it anymore. I beat it down.
Well, there's some injury news with the Brewers. That's not good. With Mathias. That's a big hit.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about that because Mark Mathias, he gets moved to the 60-day DL. Council says it's not a year-long thing yet. Mark's got to decide if he's going to have surgery or not. I thought that, you know, who just talked him up a week ago was you.
Yeah, yeah, I thought he was going to make this, at least play a part this year and maybe not break camp with the club. They seem to like Robertson quite a bit, so... I mean, we'll see. They liked Brock Holt, too. So we'll see how that plays out. Pablo Reyes.
Sorry. I had it on a timer. I'll take it off.
Pablo Reyes will not make break camp, at least, on the roster. Aaron Ashby, same deal there. Unless there's injuries here moving forward. But that roster is starting to take shape. And, you know, it looks like Urias and Robertson, the utility infielders, just on the surface here. But what does this say about Vogelbach?
Well, he's your backup first baseman, right?
Well, I guess. I mean,
he's either that or he's not on the team.
Agreed.
So what is he?
Well, you could cover first base in essence, possibly with Robertson and or Shaw.
Right.
If you had to.
Right. Shaw can play first base. Shaw talked this week. He said they hadn't talked about that. But it's kind of everybody knows that if they need Shaw at first base, they can play him.
Yeah, and so Vogelbach might be. It's possible he's the odd man out. I mean, that was a little bit of a gamble when they signed him. It's a cheaper, more inexpensive route, but you know, maybe they were gambling on the DH coming into play, and obviously that didn't occur.
well, it's a good gamble to make. I mean, they could still, this is something that Craig's been saying, they could still add the DH at any time yet. The season as it started, and baseball, that's what they do. I don't think they will at this point. I think it feels like it's too late, but again, they added it late last year, even though it was a little different.
No. Well, people, teams have constructed their rosters going with and without the premise of a DH. So which way are you going
to
fall on
that? Well, the caveat to that is this baseball is an interesting sport because it's the only sport where the commissioner actively hates a sport.
I don't know about that.
So
I'm not sure about that.
You brought up Urias. I thought this was interesting from counsel yesterday. He was talking about Travis Shaw and the playing time that he's going to get. Shaw will make the opening day roster, the 40-man.
Mm-hmm.
So he's talking about Shaw, but he links it to Urias and Arcia. So it's like three guys battling for two spots. This is from counsel yesterday.
You know, I think Orlando's going to play. I mean, that's what we know, is that Orlando's going to play. And then I think Travis offers something different than Urias in Orlando, so there's obviously going to be opportunities. But I think Luis is kind of the guy we're trying to find out about. Unfortunately, just because of the injuries, he hasn't played a ton in the spring. But also know that he's a young player who's still improving, you got to be out there to get that right. You're not going to get that. Not playing, so we've got to get Luis out there to see that. So there's no, you know, there's nothing really is. Everything's in pencil over there, I guess is the best way to say it right now. And I think those guys are all aware of that. Those guys know it, and so there's opportunities for all of them to earn it.
So the way I heard that is Arcia is playing close to every day, and it depends on Urias to see how much we play Travis Shaw.
Yeah, and I still have hopes on Urias, Bart. I really do. I still say, you know, you look back and do a deeper dive into his minor league numbers, and there's reason to stay invested in this kid. There is. He's just got a, you know, I mean, you talk about snake bitten or whatever, or, you know, some bad luck, and that's definitely him. So he's got to start with staying healthy, and after that, you'll work on the confidence. I'm fine with investing in him. Did decent defensively, hit about 240, which is, you know, in last year's numbers world in baseball. Hell, that wasn't too bad. at 240, so reason to stay positive with Urias.
I would like,
but Lando's going to start. I mean, he's going to start at shortstop. I don't know, you know. Again,
well, they got to see what they have, because otherwise that trade was a giant failure.
Well, they do, but you know, maybe you could have packaged Arcia, and maybe that's still on the table here in a subsequent move. Then moving Urias to short and just giving him the car keys there at shortstop, but I don't understand the expectations of Orlando Arcia. We have far surpassed what we thought he was going to be. But that being said, that doesn't mean he stinks either. I mean, he still is a solid and above average major league shortstop. Guys, he is.
He's one of the best shortstops that I've ever seen, quote, Luis Urias. How about that?
There you go.
That's what he says.
Yeah.
That's what he says about Arcia.
I mean, we're not going to see this high-end, you know, top 10 in all of baseball prospect from Arcia, but that's not such a horrible thing, guys. There's only a few of those guys out there, and Arcia I'm fine with. I really am. I don't know why the messing around, but again, as you said, Bart, you got to see what you've got in Urias. If nothing else, to take a re-look at that trade, and that trade, especially with Eric Lauer doing what he's doing, that doesn't look good.
No, it was a bad trade at the time, and it looks worse with every passing day. And I'll take a victory lap on it. I'll do it right now.
Hey, have you been talking about Fox Sports Wisconsin and getting, you know, certain platforms and not going to be, at this point, going to be able to watch some Brewer games this season, at least
to
start?
We'll see what happens. So the deal with Fox Sports Wisconsin, there's a couple of things surrounding Fox Sports Wisconsin right now. One is they're not on Hulu anymore.
Correct.
And they're not on YouTube TV.
Mm-hmm.
which I don't have any. I have cable still. I have DirecTV.
Doesn't affect me either.
I can't. I get cable, and then I get Apple TV, and I've got Netflix, and I've got the ESPN bundle. So it's like I'm paying for all this stuff. But even if you got rid of cable, aren't you still paying for a lot of money on cable? I don't know. Cable's always been the one thing to me that they could charge me $1,000 a month. I'll find a way to pay it. I want live cable. I don't want to deal with. Even I was streaming Fox Sports Go the other day to watch a Bucks game. Yeah, I got caught 2 minutes behind. I don't like that. So that's an issue. I think Bucks fans were very upset about it at first. That seems to have died down because I think everybody just shared passwords. So now, will there be more of an uprising from Brewer fans? This will be more across the state, I think. The Brewers more of a state team than the Bucks. I don't think that that's talking out of school here. So we'll see if there's more of an uprising if people can't get opening day, can't get, you know, their Brewers every day. I don't know. I have cable, so I guess I could champion for the common man, but me and my gold-plated toilet, I have cable, so I'm fine.
Yeah, it's weird. And then they're going to change it to Bally Sports Wisconsin. I believe that's coming up 2 weeks from tomorrow.
Oh, they're doing it for opening day by then.
I believe so. And rumor has it. Now, this is just a rumor. I'm still trying to confirm this, Bart. But and the way I hear it from two different people is that Tim Dillard and Vinny Rotino will be added to the broadcast, and Jerry Augustine will not.
Really?
Is kind of what I'm hearing. I can't confirm that at this point, but that's what my rumors, the rumor mill has around my world.
And you're just throwing that out there with shame.
I'm covering everything Brewers. Here's what I'm hearing. Allegedly, that's what's going on with Bally Sports. And Augie is aware of this, according to the same rumor.
I feel like this is one of those things that is, if it is true, it's not public and you just made it public.
I don't know. I'm just telling you, if I had a rumor that said, you know, Braun was coming back, I'd tell you too.
Well, Braun is coming back.
I agree.
I don't know. He's not down there if he didn't want to be asked about it. Braun's coming back.
It's all up to the Brewers and how they're competing this season.
Yeah, if they're good, he's coming back.
He is, and he'll make the team better. And who wouldn't want that dude in a pennant race?
Yeah, and he won't play a ton. He won't have to. He's Ryan Braun.
He'll play as much as his body's going to allow him to play, and he's going to help get this team back into the playoffs.
And he'll get a farewell. He'll get a proper farewell.
Yep.
I mean, I would want that too. Vinny Rotino, by the way, very well educated. Well educated. UW-Wisconsin lacrosse grad.
Yeah, I don't know much about him. I've interviewed him a couple of times, I guess, when he was here, but I don't know much about him.
Lacrosse grad. He played in the KBO for a while.
Okay.
How about that?
From Racine, right?
From Racine. My friend calls it Racine. I call it Racine.
It's Racine.
I call it Racine. He was at the gas station. This is funny you bring that up. I was at the gas station the other day. You know, I'm just pumping gas. And someone goes to me, Bart, are you Bart from Bart, the Bart Show?
Don't you love that?
Because I'm just pumping gas. And they go, aren't you Bart from the – didn't you used to have a morning show? I say, a matter of fact, I still do.
Used to.
A matter of fact, I still do. I'm on in the mornings on the fan, 12:50 a.m. the fan. Oh, yeah. Okay. I'll check it out. Hey, by the way, do you know anything about former Brewers catchers from the western side of the state? And I said to them, are you talking about Vinny Rotino or Damian Miller, who's from West Salem? And they said, yeah, no, I was wondering about Damian Miller. Is he still in the league? I said, as a matter of fact, he's not.
Really?
And, yeah, this happened. This is a real story. Tim, you wouldn't believe how much I get stopped at the gas station, of all places. It's like I go to pump my gas, and I got to, like, look around. I was like, is the paparazzi here?
Well, you do look like the the leprechaun, kind of a deranged individual. Right.
Can I tell you a real story that happened to me at a gas station?
Sure.
All right. So it's 2005, and we're staying at a hotel in Oak Creek for the state championship. My brother is playing for the state championship in soccer, and my dad is the coach, and I'm in lacrosse at the time. I come back for it. We're all staying in the hotel in Oak Creek. There is a shooting at this hotel.
Great.
Third floor. There was a drug deal gone bad. Someone got caught in the crossfire. So there, people died in the shooting. We were on the second and first floors. So we were not affected. So the next day is the day of a state championship semifinal. And I couldn't be at that one. I was at the quarterfinal. I couldn't be at the because the state championship at Eline on Good Hope there. Right there, good buddies at Eline. So then I leave the hotel, and immediately I stop at the gas station across the street, and one of the journalists from the Journal Sentinel follows me into the gas station because I need gas. And she says, "Hey, were you in the hotel?" And all I'm thinking right away is, awesome. My name's going to be in the Journal Sentinel.
That's right.
So I talked to her, and I told her why I was there, soccer team, whatever. And then they're like, ooh, soccer, the big angle. So then the press is trying to, you know, contact my dad and the team. And then they had to take a back way in because the media was there to talk to them. And it, like, really affected them. And then they lost. So okay. I feel I'm responsible for my brother and my dad's team losing.
Yeah, moral of the story, again, as I've said for a decade, can we all just stop shooting each other, please?
Yeah.
Stop pointing a gun at someone and pulling the trigger. Can we just stop that?
Yeah. That's where you and I agree.
I mean, just it's just crazy. It's just crazy.
But ever since then, I just keep getting stopped at the gas station.
So everything is about the gas station.
Because a week after somebody stopped me at the gas station, and this was in La Crosse, and they said, "Are you Bart Winkler, whose name was at the bottom of an article in the Journal last week?" So, as a matter of fact, I am.
So, again, to the sales staff, maybe you should do a couple of times a week from a gas station.
Do
a live broadcast.
Also,
yeah.
This is a new hobby I just took up. I go to biker rallies now.
Okay.
I don't ride
Sturgis?
Bikes. I would go to Sturgis. Greatest place in the world. I would go to Sturgis. I go to biker rallies. I don't ride bikes. I just like the ambiance of a biker rally. I like how everyone there just like doesn't care. That's what I like.
Family members, friends. I got a lot of inner circle folks that go to Sturgis every year.
Yeah,
they love it.
Yeah, great year this year too. Really, the reach of Sturgis this year farther than ever across the country. Really good. I'm glad that the event was still held. Really smart decision. Hey, do we agree on the shift?
You need to separate according to your philosophy, so no, you can't be bundling up people over on that side of the diamond.
What's my philosophy?
No grouping together, like you said about Sturgis. Just saying.
Yeah. Come on.
Just saying, there's both sides of a story, Bart. There's two sides of the story.
Damn.
We need to remember that.
Damn.
I think it opens up Pandora's box a little bit. I would like to say that, you know, we have defensive rules in football that were, you know, evolved over the years, defensive rules in basketball that have evolved over the years in an effort to do what, Bart? And we all know why. It's all about the offense. They just want some offense. So if you're going to make the shift illegal, you're going to get more offense. You will. I think in baseball, there's some elements of the game of baseball that are separate from other sports, and that is the tradition of, and we, I think we need to keep that in mind a lot, and not being a 100% purist or traditionalist, I'm not, and I'm willing to tinker here and there and, you know, experiment here and there, but all that in mind, we have to make sure we respect a game that's, you know, 180,000 years old. And this, part of the essence of baseball is sort of this activity of a little bit more of the slow play. I mean, it just is. That's part of it. We need to respect that a little bit. Now, I'm willing to change here and there, but we can't overhaul this sport. We can't just turn this into a different sport. We have to respect that side of it. So I'm okay with, you know, tinkering a little bit, but, and maybe it should be, hey, two men on this side of the diamond, two men on that side on the infield, and they all eight legs got to be on the dirt. They got to be on the beach.
I don't like any of it. I don't like it. I don't like it. I would not try to abandon the shift. If you don't like the shift, the way to abandon the shift is, or ban the shift rather, is to hit where the guy is not.
I agree. And there's a big part of that that says, hey, lefties are more victimized by the shifts. Well, then you need to learn to go the other way a little bit. You need to go middle of the field and away much more so than has been normal for you guys. So there's that part too. But we got to be careful. Pickoff rules at first. Bases being a little bit bigger, you know, to encourage more activity in terms of stealing. I mean, all that stuff is, I'm all right with kind of taking a look at things, see how it works out. I'll give you an example. The runner on second base with the extra inning rule. Did you like that, Bart?
I don't like it in principle, but in watching it, it was exciting.
Well put. Same here. And Sam's a big baseball fan, too, over there. I thought it was intense, and I didn't expect it to be. There's one of the rules that I was like, if you're a purist, you would say, no, this is dumb. Let's not do that. But then you see it in motion, and the intensity that is right there in extras with a man on second, I just loved it. And I think that it should be here to stay. Now, there's something to be said also about, you know, 16-inning games as well. There's an allure to that too, that, you know, you got to dip into tomorrow's starter or whatever it might be. But I did kind of like, that extra inning thing. Sam, did Sam like it?
I'm with you guys. I didn't like it at first, but I'm okay with it. The only thing I would say going forward is, Tim, do you remember what league we were talking about where if you do put a runner on second, you kind of start with a first out or something?
Yeah, so, that was the California rule.
Yeah,
right.
That way you're not, you know, bunt, runner's already on third base, and then you go from there.
Yep.
That's the only
Or you
problem.
Just hit to the other side. It's just two ground balls.
Right.
Is basically what it can be. But it was, you know, you would have thought that, Sam, Bart, on the surface, but the way it worked out, it was, I don't know, it was just, there was something about it that was unexpected for me.
They asked counsel about all these rules last Friday, and I'm going to play just a snippet of it. I thought he gave a very interesting, measured approach. He wouldn't answer one way or another what rules he liked one way, what rules he didn't. What he talked about was he's just happy that the game is willing to evolve, and instead of arguing, that we're going to see what they're like, and we get past the arguing part, and we start to see. This is a little bit from counsel.
I'm pleased that we're trying to find ways to improve the game, and I think that's how we should look at it. Are they all going to be successful? Are we going to like all of them? Probably not, but we have to try some things. I'm at the point, and my firm belief is that, and my opinion in this that I've shared with when I've been asked by people from Major League Baseball, is we have to start exploring changes. We absolutely have to. And so we can sit there and judge all these rules and criticize them and, you know, say, get off my lawn, this is baseball, but the game, we have to move it forward. And this is the way we're experimenting without affecting the product on the biggest stage. And so I think this is, I like all the rule changes, even if I don't, I like all the experimentation, even if they're all not going to come into a play at the highest level, because I think it's a step forward in the way we're thinking as an industry that's really important to improving our product.
That's counsel. I also thought that Rami broke it pretty down when he was talking about it on your show last week.
That's true.
I thought
He's right on. Case in point is that, you know, we're probably not going to like all of these rules. And, okay, so be it. But, you know, to tinker a little bit, you've got, you know, the minor leagues under control of MLB. You've got some indie leagues that you've associated with to try out some things in years past. So let's just take a look at them. Robo-umps, I mean, that's another big one. I think it's interesting, the pickoff rule, Bart. I don't know if you've done a deep dive.
When you get like two throws?
Right. You get two automatically over there. Now, everything's on a pitch clock. This is in theory. Everything's on a pitch clock. You do get two pickoff moves and throws over to first base. You do get a third, but if you don't record the out, if it's not successful, then it's a ball or a balk. I forget which. But that would be against the grain here. You better pick them off. So think about that, though. Do a little deeper thought process in that. Once there are two moves over there, two pickoff plays over there, what does that say about the lead for the runner? Well, he's going to take some liberties there.
The problem with all this is then there's just too much stuff to keep track of. Like, we already got to keep track of mound visits now.
We do.
And we got to keep track of how many guys a pitcher can face. I don't want to add anything like to the scoreboard. So you got the scoreboard there. It's got runs, hits, errors. You can put whatever stats you want, but I don't want to have to add a section of let's keep track of this. Let's keep track of this. And also what I don't want is anything timed. I don't care. Baseball, you go to the ballpark. It could end in 2 hours. It could end in four. There is no clock. It's just when you get three outs. It's not a 5-minute inning. It's not a 10-minute inning. It's three outs. I don't like that we're adding clocks into a game where there is no time.
Okay. And that would mean then that the extra inning rule you would be against, because it just, you have to play it out. It doesn't matter how long it goes. You just have to play it out.
I know the teams hate it, but God, there's nothing sexier to me than a 21 inning box score.
Okay.
To see all the pitching changes and all the, you know, you did dip into the next day. And now for the next 2 weeks, this team has to deal with that. That's just part, to me, that's part of the game. This is not a quick, get it in, get it out game. This is not a TikTok microwave game. This is a long 162 game process.
Okay, so in that sense,
I would almost argue there shouldn't be playoffs in baseball.
You're a little more on the traditional side then.
Yeah.
In that regard. Okay, that being said, and I lean that way too.
Like Council said.
Get off my lawn, this is baseball.
That's how I feel, yes.
Yeah, I lean that way a little bit, but I will say that it is, Bart, you cannot, you can't discount the fact that it is excruciating at times to see some of these pitchers do their little circus act.
Oh, no,
on the
I
mound.
Know. And Braun
it,
doing
it is
the thing
brutal.
With the
brutal. It's brutal. Guys, come on. That's part of where a pitch clock I would be for. They take too much advantage of throwing a fastball, stepping off the dirt, taking a nice round robin walk around the green grass. Forgot to pick up the rosin bag. I'm going to grab that rosin bag. I'm going to, you know, shake my head a little bit. I'm going to stretch a little bit. I'm going to then take this slow journey all the way back up this pitcher's mound and get to the rubber. And then I'm going to step off because the catcher and I can't get out. And that to me, that part of it, that has nothing to do with injuries. I mean, that is a sight game right there. That's all that is. So is there a way we can meet in the middle on not necessarily a pitch clock, but I don't know how you would police it.
Let's talk to Big Ron. He's out in New Jersey. Big Ron, what's happening?
Get to my lawn. This is baseball.
Yeah, right, Big Ron?
What's happening, Ron?
How's it going, guys? I guess I'm pro shift. I'm against the three pitcher rule. That's the most ridiculous rule I think of all. To take, you know, 10 seconds out of the game and take away, you know, strategy from a manager is just asinine. But the real reason I wanted to call is, you know, I'm a little disappointed in the Jackie Bradley Jr. signing. You know, I mean, we got him for $12 million, and you know, 240 career hitter that doesn't hit with the lobs. Doesn't really hit the average, doesn't really hit the power.
Hey, Ron, your phone's as mangled as your take.
It sounds like Craig Council's audio.
All right, maybe I'll call back.
Yeah, phone's not working today, Ron.
Word.
See you, buddy. I didn't like his take, if you couldn't tell. I like
Bradley
Jackie Bradley Jr. I like Ron.
It is a pretty expensive fourth outfielder.
No, it's not a fourth outfielder. They have four starting outfielders.
His point is it should be, and I agree with him. This is a fourth outfield. This is a rotation guy, but it's a pretty damn expensive one. I mean, if you've got the money, you've got a little little cash on hand, which, you know, some would argue they do, then it's okay. Overall, I like the signing, but to sign him and say we've got a big fish to start in the outfield, I don't agree with that based on most of what Ron just said.
Hey, you zig when others
zag.
Doesn't
hit for average.
Right?
No, and I agree. It for sure improved the outfield depth at the very bare minimum. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing.
If everyone else is zigging, you got to zag.
No, I'm with Ron. I'm just being honest. He shouldn't be a starter. Let's say everyone's healthy, Garcia, Kane, and Yelich. Everybody's healthy, and you move forward. There's no way they should split up the at-bats in terms of the first two or three of any game with Jackie Bradley Jr. Just because you pay him $12 million doesn't guarantee that he's this big fish coming in. It's just a big payroll. It's essentially a one-year deal. If he has a decent year, even part-time play, he's opting out of this second year. You know that. He's going to sign a multi-year deal somewhere else. And that's fine. As long as it helps this team win a World Series. I think it's great depth. It is. I assume that all three of these outfielders, Yelich, Kane, and Garcia, will have a far better year than Jackie Bradley Jr.
I'm thinking good things for all four of them. Before I bid adieu to you, let's bring in the Sean O'Connell, who calls us from the Madison area. The Sean O'Connell. Hello, Sean.
Good morning, gentlemen, and happy St. Patrick's Day to you as well.
Yes.
Tim, yeah, great about the outfield. My question to you, franchise, is with the Travis Shaw situation, third base was a need, and the market was essentially one name, and then it fell off from there, and then bringing Travis Shaw in, he does have the left-handed bat that Craig Council likes, and there is familiarity. But seeing that he made the 40-man, going back to, 2019 with the Keston Hira situation where he did not, Travis Shaw did not want to take the minor league option. Mm-hmm. He was resistant to it. Maybe he's a little on the not so great a teammate thing that Craig Council does, kind of push. And, you know, do you think it's going to be just a smooth transition? Oh, Travis is back. Everybody's happy. Or is it going to kind of be, you know, maybe there's a little bit of attitude baggage there? Just one man's question.
Okay, good question. I've spoken with Travis Shaw several times over the years. And dude is competitive. He can get a little chippy with you. I mean, he's going to tell you pretty much what's on his mind. I will just say this. People, all of us, tend to get humbled at some point in various different parts of our lives. And Travis was. I mean, he went from 31 homers, 100-plus RBIs, a nice batting average, just living large. He could see a huge payday at the end of the tunnel there, and things just went south on him. And that humbles a guy. Now, apparently Council and Shaw had a conversation, and it's, you know, to relieve some stress a little bit and let him relax and get back to more of what Travis Shaw is. To answer your question, it does have a chance here to maybe be a little bitter sort of separation or divorce, or it does just in my hearing Travis Shaw, Bart, you hear him too. You probably interviewed him a handful of times. So you know what kind of guy he is. These guys are competitors. But, yeah, there is a risk of a little bit of a powder keg. And I, Craig Counsell does a great job. And that whole coaching staff does a great job of maintaining the chemistry and the positive environment in that clubhouse. Even when Shaw was crabby and all that, it still wasn't kind of go off lightning rod comments sort of thing. So I would say the odds are not with it, but they're there that this could be a little bit of a powder keg.
Well, I think that if it doesn't work, we'll know pretty soon and they'll move on.
I think, and it's a low risk gamble financially. The problem is you were sort of snookered into this, as Sean just said. The market was kind of thin at that position. So is this just out of need, or is this a feel good story? And he's got his head on straight, and physically he's making some adjustments, and he's going to come back. And at least, for crying out loud, Travis, big league hitter with huge success in the big leagues, can you at least hit 260? I mean, is that too much to ask for Travis Shaw? I mean, I just, if he's fallen to the wayside that much, he gets what he's worth, and that's $1.5 million. That's in relation to baseball these days, guys, not a lot of money.
Here, let me grab John and Franklin's on the line, too. Let's grab John. What's up, John?
Hey, good morning, guys. I've talked about the Shaw thing before, and I get it, man. I get it. A lot of you guys in the sporting world had a relationship with the guy. He was a good dude. I get all that. But at the end of the day, I mean, when you put a realistic plan together for your team, are you going to base it off the numbers from 2 or 3 years ago? Are you going to base it off what you've been seeing recently in the last year or so? And that's where my hang up is. I get it. He's a good dude. But as a fan, when there's two outs and it's a tie game and there's a runner on second base, I want a guy to put the bat on the ball. And I just haven't seen that out of him. And if we go into this season with him as the plan at third base, I understand they're going to have a backup for it. I still don't think it was a step. I think we could have done better, is what I'm trying to say. And it's nothing against him personally. I'm just speaking as a fan because I don't know the guy. But I hear you. I hear what you're saying. And I appreciate it.
I'm with you, John, on how did they get into this situation in the first place. I mean, you're a team that's poised to go back to the playoffs for the fourth consecutive year. I don't know if you're tinkering with an everyday third baseman that, prior to the 60 games last year in which he hit .239, prior to that season, he hit like .150 or something like that. It was, you guys saw it. You guys that watch Brewers baseball, his tail end of his Brewers first stint here, it was brutal.
Very bad.
I mean, Bart, it was similar to what, an amateur would do out there swinging the bat. It didn't look good at all. It looked like he forgot everything about baseball. And that's what's so puzzling. This is more, John, to answer your question, I think it's more of an indictment on the position player prospect group. There's just nothing there. There hasn't been anything there for a while. They've failed on a lot of these hits, and other teams have too. It's no different than other teams, but they have failed at the corners here. I mean, that's just what it is. The Lucas Ursegs and... You didn't make a trade for a prospect, a high ranked prospect at any of the corners there, and you moved a sketchy second baseman defensively over to first on top of it. I mean, you're looking at a reclamation project in Travis Shaw at third, and a first time first baseman at first that is not good defensively. You tell me, this is clearly an indictment on their farm system.
Yeah, I mean, we're mad that Mark Mathias got hurt for our depth. So,
no, I like Mark Mathias. I think he's a gamer, and I think that's a big hit, Bart. I do. He was one of the guys that added a little energy. You could tell when he was in there. It's just you didn't think he was going to do what he did, but he did.
We all need a little bit of energy.
We do, yes.
Tim, we'll do this every week. Every week, guys, Wednesday at 9, you guys can call in. We'll just talk baseball. We'll... get a little awkward with one sort of comment per week, and then we'll move on and go from there. Tim, I love you.
It's fun. I'll do it every Wednesday.
I love you too.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks.
The power of recordings.
Thanks, Timmy.
See you, Bart.
Tim Allen, Tim and Rami, Rami and Tim, Heffelbanger and the boys, whatever you want to refer to it as, 2 to 6, weekday afternoons, here on The Fan.